Why don't we pray and read our Bibles? God, we thank you because you are good and kind and loving. Thank you that we could gather together. Even as we read the news and we know that maybe, who knows what the government will do? Who knows what the governor will do? Who knows if we'll be able to be here a week from now or 2 weeks from now? But in this moment, we are overwhelmingly thankful that you have let us come together and sing to you and see each other's faces and read your word together. We thank you for that. Now, God, as we read your word, I pray that you, through your word, would speak to us, that you would guide our hearts and our thoughts, you would draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so arguably the worst way to start a sermon by all the experts is to just read from the text. But that's what we're going to do today because grab 1 John chapter 2. We'll start in verse 21. We're going to skip a verse in the middle of it for a reason. We have to just read because we're in the middle of a text that we've been looking at, and there's a little piece that we left hanging off the end last time that we have to grab. But in order for any of it to make sense, we just have to jump in and read the text. So 1 John chapter 2. Verse 21, there's a clear and present danger that John describes, the danger that we could walk away from Jesus, that we could stand before him. Pay special attention to verse 28 as we finish, standing before Jesus with shame. We're shamed because we're looking at our Savior and we've walked away from him. We've abandoned him. Think about that. At verse 21, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son is the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. And look, jump to verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame of his coming. We have to abide in Christ. Why? Why does he say that? Why does he over and over emphasize that? Because we can walk away from him. It's possible for Christians, for God's children, to turn the other way. We know it. We've seen it. John says it, that there are people who want to deceive us, who would have us deny Jesus. He offers us eternal life. We could walk into his presence at the end of our existence here in shame because we walked away from him. And then he gives us what we saw last week. Look at verse 20. He gives us this real confidence, a surety that we can have. Verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One and you all have knowledge. It's that word, but it's people trying to deceive you. Yeah, you have to remain in Christ. You can walk away, but you have the Holy Spirit in you. Look at verse 27. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. That's the big idea in this text. Not our big idea from today, but the big idea from those two texts is that we can be assured. We can be sure in our salvation because the Spirit of Jesus abides in us. We're anointed with him. We're marked as God's children. He protects us. He assures us that we are God's dearly beloved children. It's an assurity that comes from within, not from us, but from God within us and within us. And this is the part I want us to pick up today. He does something incredible. There is something that the Holy Spirit does that is huge in us. He teaches us everything. Yeah. Really? Where does it say that? Well, keep reading verse 27. Let's read it again. Let's start from the beginning. So verse 27, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. So I know if you're thinking, well, then why are you talking into a microphone right now? Just go with me. We'll keep reading. You have no need that anyone should teach you, but his anointing teaches you about everything and is true. And is no lie, just as he has taught you, abide in him. The Holy Spirit teaches us everything. And why would that be important to us? Why would that be worthy of a Sunday sermon? Why would that be worthy of us sitting here and talking about that today? Why do we need someone to teach us everything? See, our universal attitude as people, and I'll show you this by showing you three different stages of life. All through our life, our universal attitude is, I got it. I know it. I don't need you to tell me anything. Little children, what do they say? I can do it. What? How? By myself. I can do it by myself. It's like, no, you can't. You can hardly stand up. I can do it by myself. Adolescents, I have two adolescent boys. They're not here, so I can talk about them, even though I'm not supposed to. So I'll repent later because I'm not supposed to tell family stories without prior permission. But it happens every day. I know, Dad. I know. Except we speak Spanish at home. So, yo lo sabía. Yo lo sabía. Yeah, you didn't. And your tone, so two problems there, but how long? Okay, and then we become adults, and what's our line? I knew that. The boss gets done talking. I knew that. I knew our spouse talks and tells us. I knew that. I knew that. That's not true. See, there's a lot of information we need in life. Hey, have you ever? This is what a rhetorical question this is, right? Have you ever had a decision before you? And you didn't know what to do, didn't know which way to go. Have you ever thought about your future and then realized you don't know what's going to happen? We need information. Have you ever had in a conversation an opportunity to talk about Jesus start to open up and something in you is like, oh, I think this is one of those moments where I'm supposed to speak the gospel. What do I say? I have no idea what to say. I don't know. I'm supposed to speak the gospel to this person. They're like, there's like spiritual stuff being talked about. We never talk about spiritual stuff. We need information. Have you ever heard a new philosophy or a new way of thinking, a new interpretation of a text or something? Didn't know how to evaluate it. Have you ever gone through something with a person or in your job and you didn't know how to feel about it? Should I be mad? Should I be sad? Should I be depressed? What should I feel about this? I don't feel good about it. How should I be feeling? Have you ever read something in the Bible and you didn't understand it? We can all raise our hands, right? If not, then you're not reading the Bible enough, right? Have you ever been in the middle of a circumstance and you didn't know what to do? See, we need information. There's information we need as we go through life in every moment of every day. And the Holy Spirit teaches us everything. Go back to verse 27. We're just going to pick the last half of verse 27 apart for a couple minutes and then we'll be done. So as his anointing teaches you, look at that phrase. He teaches us. One of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit is to teach us from the inside, teaching us. He teaches us how? As we read the Bible. As we read the Bible, the same God that inspired its writing guides us as we read it. He interprets it for us. He teaches it to us. He helps us understand it. He helps us apply it. He guides us as we go through life from the inside. What does Romans 8:14 say? Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. The Spirit of God guides us. He connects us with God as he teaches us. He takes what's God's and he gives it to us. God in us, the Spirit in us, teaches us. The more we rest on that, at least for me, that makes logical sense. I say, okay, that would make sense that the Holy Spirit of God, if he is in me, he would teach me. That's one of his ministries, one of the things he does, reality of the Spirit in you and I, if you are a Christian. He teaches us what? Keep reading. Teaches us about everything. That is a phrase that is just, what? He teaches us about everything? I get that he would teach us, but everything? The Spirit of God teaches us about everything? If you think that that's maybe just John, just using a clever turn of phrase and didn't really think about the whole about everything, like that encompasses, he teaches us about everything. That's all. Maybe he was just kind of, maybe he's getting in a preacher moment, just kind of going with it. And okay, look at what Jesus said. Look at John chapter, the Gospel of John, Big John, John chapter 14, verse 25. Jesus says, These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. This is Jesus talking. I read this and I just, and the reason I stop and I go, what? It's because it just seems so, it's hard to take this in. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now jump down to John 16, chapter 16. Look at verse 7. No, I'm sorry. I wrote that wrong in my notes. Look at verse 12. Jesus is talking still. Listen to what he says. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into, and look at the words again, all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. Look at how he does it. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things because he's God. Think about that. All things. Google knows a lot. I haven't stumped Google yet. It maybe back in the day, not recently. God knows more, much more. And the Spirit of God in us teaches us all things. And you say, what is all things? Well, let's think about that. All things. Jesus said, all that I said. So everything that Jesus taught, he will bring it to your mind. All that is true. He will guide you into all truth. Think about that. Everything that he hears in heaven, things that will happen in the future. That's what Jesus just said. Everything that the Father has is the Son's, and then Jesus gives it to the Spirit to tell us. He tells us everything we need to know. He teaches us all things. He teaches us what God thinks. He teaches us, he reveals the mind of God to us. The things that God, and the way that God thinks about things, that's all things. The Spirit reveals that to us. He makes us understand what we read in the Bible. He tells us how to apply what we read in the Bible to ourselves. All things. He teaches us how the world is and what we should do and what we should think and what we should say and how we should react to things and what's going to happen. And he warns us of sin and he warns us of danger. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things. And then look back at verse 27. John 16, verse 14. Why does he do it? So that we can be little know-it-all, and I know it, and I'm kind of like I'm finally getting close to being omniscient. That's the all-knowing, right? Omniscient? Omnipresent, that's all. Yeah, omniscient. I'm getting close to being like God, finally. The Spirit is telling me everything. So it puffs me up and glorifies me. No. He will glorify me. He will glorify me. The Spirit glorifies Jesus by telling us everything. He tells us everything. He tells us everything we need to know so that Jesus will be glorified in his children, so that Jesus will be glorified in what we do and in our life and in our imitation of him. He teaches us everything so that we will become more like Jesus. And then look, go back now to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the verse we're dissecting. And it's true. There's a phrase there. It said, it's true. It's no lie. We can trust what he tells us because he's God. And what he tells us is true. What he guides us into all truth. Why? Because he's God and he knows everything. Because he's God and God does not lie. So John says what he tells you is true. And it's not a lie. The Holy Spirit protects us by telling us the truth. He doesn't guide us badly. He doesn't take us down the wrong path. We don't need a second opinion when God guides us. He protects us from the lie. And go back to the start of the little section of verse 27 that we're reading. You have the anointing, he abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Now, obviously, John's not saying, don't teach anybody anything ever. He's not saying, don't teach. He's in the middle of teaching when he says this. But we don't have to depend. Listen to this. We don't have to depend on anyone. We don't have to depend on the expert, on the preacher, on other people, on people to interpret it for us, to tell us. We have God. We have God's word. We have his spirit. He teaches us everything. God teaches us everything. But see, there's an irony embedded in this phrase. You don't need anybody to teach you, because in spite of us having God and his spirit, who teaches us everything, we don't listen to him. Not like we should, I don't think. Maybe you do. I know I don't. The Spirit teaches us everything, but many times we don't listen to him. We don't hear his guidance. We don't pay attention to what he's leading us into as he leads us into all truth. We listen to who? We listen to everybody else. When I need to know something, I ask my wife, I ask my friend, I even ask my teenage boys, I ask people I work with, I go to Google. If I want to look smart, I go to Google first before I talk to anybody else. I ask who I think will know, I ask other people, I listen to them, I depend as I go through life on what other people will tell me. You know how easy it is when you're preparing a teaching and you have to stand up in front of people who many have been Christians longer than you, who know, objectively know the Bible better than you do, and then you have to talk about the Bible, how easy it is to say, I'm just going to commentaries are good, but to directly go to someone else telling you what the thing means, what the thing, what you should think about it. We depend on what other people tell us. We ask them, we believe them. There's somebody in our life who, whatever they say, we just believe them. We whatever they say, okay, that's that. We don't listen to God the way that we should. We don't read. Listen, this is why I wanted us to take a week on this. So we don't read our Bibles the way that we should. If we have the Spirit of God in us and he teaches us all things, and we have the Word of God in our hands, we don't read our Bibles as much as we should. We don't ask God when we have doubts. We ask God to do things for us. We don't ask God in general, what should I feel? What should I think? Help me figure this out, God. We're not leaning on and listening for his guidance. We don't listen to God the way that we should. I know that that's the general statement, and you might raise your hand and say, I do. I know. We do, but we don't. We don't as much as we should, and that is ridiculous. It's ridiculous to not listen to the one who teaches us everything. We have access to, think about this for a minute. We have access to God. He knows everything. He knows everything. He controls everything. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what the right decision is. He knows what the right path to go down is. He knows what we should say. He knows how I should react when the thing happens at work and I'm like, and it's Zoom, so I can, you know, act okay and then go off and then pout in the corner. He knows how we should react. He knows what we should feel. He knows what's going to happen. And you and I listen to people who literally know nothing, instead of listening to the one who teaches us everything and knows everything. So what should we do? Look at the last part of verse 27. Just as it has taught you, abide in him. We should abide in Christ. And in the context of this specific verse, that has to do with listening to the Spirit. That has to do with, it comes from listening and believing and obeying what the Spirit teaches us. We can listen directly to God, and that's what we should do. We should listen to the Spirit. We should ask him first. When we don't know something, when we have doubts, we should listen to him. So how do we do that? Very practically, how do we listen directly to the one who would teach us everything? Our question should be, how do I learn from him? How do I get that information inside of me? How do I hear the voice of the Spirit? There's four things that we have to do to listen to the Spirit. And I know a list of four is not good, because we remember maybe one or maybe none of them, but this is really important. So today, let's do something different. Let's think about all four. So one, how do we listen to the Spirit? First of all, we read. You have to read the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, you will not hear the voice of the Spirit. You will not hear the stream of the steady stream of the Spirit guiding you. You'll hear things. He'll guide you. But not like when you're reading the Bible. You have to read the Bible. You have to listen to the Word of God to hear the voice of God. It's God's Word. That's why we read it. That's why we listen to it. And there is no excuse for us to be anemic in our Bible reading. We should read often. We should read regularly. We should read sections. Not the verse of the day, as good as the verse of the day always is. We should read sections and chapters, because the same Spirit who inspired its writing guides us as we talks to us, teaches us as we read the Bible. We have to read the Bible to hear the voice of God. The second thing, if you only hear one, just hear that one. But now keep going. We hear the voice of God. We listen to the Spirit when we ask Him questions. When we ask God, when we say, what should I do? When our prayers become much more about us saying, God, what do you want me to do? Then, God, would you please do this? Would you hurry up and do that? Would you do this and do that? We should ask God. We should ask. There's biblical precedent for asking God for help and guidance and healing and all. We should do that. But we should also ask God to guide us. So what do you want me to do? Not just guide and direct. That's good. Very general. But in this moment, what do you want me to feel? How should I respond to my wife? In this moment, it's kind of tense. What do I say? What do you want me to say? How should I feel with this thing that's happening? What decision should I make? We should cultivate an active conversation with God by asking Him. It opens us up to hearing His voice. We listen better when we ask questions. When we don't ask questions, We're like the I knew that, I know that, I don't need you to tell me anything. We should ask. And then, number three, we should be sensitive. We should listen. We should be sensitive to His guiding, to His correction, to that still small voice where He says, don't do that. Don't go, don't say that. Don't bite your tongue right now. Literally bite your tongue. We should be sensitive to that voice. We should, the discernment that He gives us, we should strive to be the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. We should listen to His guidance when He pushes us in a direction, when he makes us feel uncomfortable with what's going on, with what we're watching on television, whatever the thing is. We should be sensitive to His guiding. Here's the thing. How do I know if it's from the Spirit? If it's the kind of thing, if He's telling you something that wouldn't normally come from your flesh and that would definitely wouldn't come from Satan, chances are good that persistent thing you're feeling, you're thinking, probably is coming from the Spirit of God. And if it's not the kind of thing that would lead you away from God, but rather towards God, that's something that you should listen to, that we should say, okay, probably the Spirit, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to turn that off. I'm going to bite my tongue. I'm not going to say that. The last thing, closely related, we should obey. When we hear the Spirit's voice, when we read the Bible, we should do what He says. Our responsibility is to obey. It's not just read the Bible, close it, walk away. It's read and say, what does it say? What should I do? What is the application from this? Whatever He tells us, we should quickly and happily obey. That's an expression that quickly and happily obey. That's I learned that from my parents. That was our family motto. How should you obey? Yeah, so we whenever that question was asked in our family, we would immediately, quickly and happily, kind of like cult-like. It was that's how we should obey the Holy Spirit when He talks to us, when He teaches us all things. So, question for you today. What do you need to do? If you're not a Christian, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to receive Him. You should receive the Holy Spirit, because the day that you give yourself to Jesus, that you decide to follow Him, that you repent and are baptized, you accept Him as Lord and Savior. And in that moment, His Spirit enters you, and He will accompany you in this new life in every moment, and He'll teach you everything. It's a promise. We read it today multiple times from Jesus Himself. He will teach you everything. And if you say, I know, but I don't know how I'm going to, and if I'm going to, and what I'm going to have to do, and how it's going to be, and will I be able to be faithful? And you'll have His Spirit, and He will guide you, and that changes everything. And in this community, when you say, I want that, tell someone. You can repent, be baptized. If you're a Christian, here's a question for you and I. How can you listen to him better? How can you listen to God in you? He dwells in you. He teaches you everything. How can you listen to him better? Do you read your Bible regularly? And if not, that's start there. Then you can turn off now. This is end of the application for you. Just start reading your Bible regularly, chunks of it. And if you read it, can you read more? Do you ask God questions? What should I feel right now? What should I do? What do you want me to do? How should I respond to this moment? Do you ask him questions? As you're reading the Bible, what do you want me to do with this, God? What's the application from they marched around the wall? And what's that for me today? What do you want to tell me in this text today that I should do? Is there something that God has told you that you haven't done? Is there something that you know because it's always there in your mind? And he's pushing at you and you know it. And then you read the Bible and it's like everything you read is about that. It seems to be about that. And then whenever I'm preaching, you're like, oh, you know what I'm doing. And you're talking to me. I'm not. The Holy Spirit is just, he's trying to tell you something, God, because he wants us to do what he tells us. So Spirit of God, if you're a Christian, dwells in you, teaches you everything. What do you need to do to hear him better? That's your question. All right, let's end today with a little bit of celebration. Let's celebrate the grace of God, because everything that we've been looking at, everything that we've been seeing today, the Spirit in us, teaching us all things, is just, it's an overflow of God's grace. It's a sign of God's grace to his children. It's what we receive. It's part of what we receive when we become Christians. It's what we receive because of what Jesus did on the cross. It is because of his body and his blood that was shed for us. He forgives us and he adopts us and he fills us with his Spirit. So today, as we end, I'll pray. We'll take the bread. If you're a Christian, take the bread. There's little cups in the back if you don't have one. Someone else will pray, we'll take the cup, we'll remember Jesus' body and blood. As we do that, we worship and we'll thank him. And in our hearts, we'll say, thank you. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you that I have your Spirit. Thank you that you are so good to me. God, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you for what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you for everything that means for our lives. And in this moment, we thank you because that means we have your Spirit. We thank you for him. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.